I went looking for a story, and my friend Lynn brought me an adventure.
It's okay, we're Americans. We're here to help you.
My name is Bob Wilton. I'm a journalist. I've been investigating a story about a classified government program. I'd heard that the U.S. government was training psychic soldiers, and that Lynn Cassidy was the best of the best.
I've been reactivated. I'm on a mission.
I could come. Lynn's story was unbelievable, crazy, and completely true.
You must create warrior monks who can pass through walls and see into the future.
Holy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our remote viewer special. And it's brought to you in part by UFOCon, and that'll be being held September 15th and 16th in Santa Clara, California. UFOCon. We'll talk about it a little later. It's one of the most impressive and don't miss events in the UFO year as far as conferences are concerned. It's held in Santa Clara, California every year, and it's always a big success. You heard that opening, and the opening was very interesting because it was from a motion picture about remote viewing. And, the whole thing in the picture, and the Hollywood, of course, does different things about subject matter to make it a little more exciting. But I think after you listen to this 3 hours, you'll find out that remote viewing is actually very, very exciting, and people who get into it get hooked. And as a couple of people have told me, it's pretty tough to get it going. It takes lots of practice, but it can be done by almost anybody. But we don't have almost anybody on our show tonight. We have some of the most respected people in the remote viewing community, and we look forward to having them on. Dr. Courtney Brown will be here in a moment, and we will talk to him first, and then we'll bring in Russell Targ. And Russell Targ is well known for his pioneering efforts as well with Hal Puthoff there at Stanford University some years back now. Then we'll join Lynn Buchanan out in New Mexico, and we'll be talking to Lynn about his remote viewing experiences and his military experiences as well. Then we have Dick Allgaier, who is in Hawaii, a former television newsman, and I don't know, he may still be on the air. I'm not sure. We'll find out when we talk to Dick. Dick has some very interesting things on YouTube on how to remote view and what remote viewing really is. So we'll be talking to him. And then Lauren Cott will join us from Calgary, Canada. And Lauren is fairly new to remote viewing, but not that new. But you'll find out a little bit about her as we go along as well. Of course, that bumper and the introduction of the show featured the men who stare at goats, which was the movie, which I was talking about a little earlier. Right now, I think we need to get right into the show. And the way we're going to work this is we're going to introduce each of the participants and talk to them individually. And the others may join in as we go along. Then after we get all five of the remote viewers on the air, we will then talk among ourselves for a little while, a little panel discussion about things that come up. Good to have you listening, and let's get the show underway. Our first guest is Dr. Courtney Brown, a man of some reputation and a very interesting fellow, and I think you'll enjoy. We could do 3 hours of Dr. Brown alone. In fact, all of these people we have on tonight are capable of going on and on about the facts of remote viewing. Anyway, Dr. Brown was he was the founder of the Farsight Institute, and then he's on the line from Decatur, Georgia. And Dr. Brown has many, well, he has about as many websites as I do, really. I might run over those here in a minute and talk to you about those. One of them, of course, is Courtney Brown Jr. I said Jr., I meant CourtneyBrown.com. I was thinking JerryPippin.com, making you a junior, Courtney, and I think you probably had your website before me. Welcome to the show.
Jerry, it's a great honor to be here, and I want to thank you for not only inviting me, but for inviting such an interesting group of people and such a wonderful round table concept.
It's going to be very interesting show indeed, and I want to thank you for giving me kind of the idea. You and I were talking about doing a show, and I just kind of, you know, one thing led to another, and we hadn't done a lot of remote viewing shows. We had Russell Targ on a couple of times, but we really haven't delved into the whole subject like we should. So you embraced this entire concept right off the bat, Courtney. So, and it's okay if I do call you Courtney, right?
Yeah, actually, even I'm also a university professor at Emory University. I'm a mathematician and I applied mathematician, and I work within a social science program. But I do not do my remote viewing research at Emory University. I do it at the Farsight Institute. That's spelled FARSIGHT.org, because we're a nonprofit. And all the research that I've been doing since the 1990s has been focused within that institute. We are, in fact, the leading science shop anywhere. We have full-blown scientific studies, and we've mastered the realm of public participation in remote viewing studies. So the days when a scientist would go into the laboratory and do something and then come out and say, this is what I did in my laboratory, trust me, those are gone. We have the ability now, and we've been doing this for years, to have public demonstrations of remote viewing and public experiments with remote viewing, and the public is participating through various ingenious methods of military-grade encryption and experimental designs. The public is participating in the data collection process to know that we don't cheat. So it's a very interesting set of stuff, and I'll mention a little bit about that later on. I should also mention that Lynn Buchanan is, it's wonderful that he's going to be on the show today. He is, in my opinion, unquestionably the lead instructor in a form of remote viewing called controlled remote viewing. He not only has taught hundreds of people, but he has professionalized a great many people, meaning he works with them and keeps working with them and keeps working with them. He's got a level of dedication that you just don't see very often anywhere. And he's actually a member of the board for the nonprofit, the Farsight Institute, and he has worked with me for many years in a whole bunch of experiments. I hope we get a chance to talk about some of those experiments that are absolutely riveting. Another person who's not here but who is here indirectly is Glenn Wheaton. And Glenn Wheaton has, he's the director of the Hawaii Remote Viewer Guild. And I say that he's here indirectly because he taught Dick Allgaier, who is a celebrity newscaster in Hawaii and who is one of the best remote viewers on the planet as well. So this is a very interesting group of people. We have also Russell Targ, who is one of the pioneers in the early science studies. So this is very interesting, and again, with Lauren, we're going to have one of Lynn's students as well. So Glenn Wheaton and Lynn Buchanan are both members of the board of the Farsight Institute. So you're getting a lot of Farsight in this particular radio show.
But and one reason we were mentioning websites, you've got a third website, I need to mention that. It's farsightpresentations.com.
Well, that's interesting. See, the main website is www.farsight, F-A-R-S-I-G-H-T, like seeing far, .org, because we're a nonprofit. But Farsight Presentations is another website that we use for presenting cinematic and DVD-type presentations of independent remote viewing studies. So we have remote viewing studies that are done at the Farsight Institute that are collaborative. They work with the HRVG method and the CRV method and other methods. And those experimental designs are worked out primarily by myself, but then the actual experiments the participation involved Lynn and Glenn, and those are sort of official Farsight studies. But then again, there's a desire sometimes to do unofficial studies, meaning studies that one of us may really want to do, but it's not sort of embraced in the Institute. So we have the Farsight presentations as a venue for that. And I sort of think of that as something like the Sundance Film Festival for independent films. So we have the Farsight independent place for independent remote viewing studies.
Yeah, I've been over there. You got lots of videos, information,
yeah,
and everything.
In fact, we have done so many studies that one of the complaints that has been raised is that when people come to our website, sometimes they complain that they're just overwhelmed because so much is there, so much is free, so much, and they don't know where to start. And it was because of that we came out with a DVD for the first time called The Farsight Experiments, and it summarizes and puts together and ties everything together of all of our recent research over the last 5 or so, 6 years, and puts it all together in one place. So when people look at the Farsight Experiments, they get a good understanding of where we are, what we do, they hit the ground running, and we have projects on that are described fully and tied together, such as the Multiple Universes Project. We actually did a test of a theory that has been around in physics since 1957 with the dissertation that was published by Hugh Everett. Actually, he wrote it at Princeton under John Wheeler. Often referenced as an other worlds or multiple universes concept. And it was widely laughed at the time, but it's really the rage in young people in physics these days. It's finally come. And it basically addresses the idea that there are many universes, many varieties of us. So, Jerry, let me just ask you, what color is your shirt right now?
Well, mine's blue.
All right. Well, there's another version of this where you have a red shirt on or a green shirt on.
I had a red shirt on earlier.
and there's another version where you're interviewing somebody else, or Lynn's talking first, or maybe Russell Targ's talking first, or maybe something completely different. So, and all of those universes, according to the theory, happen simultaneously. And then the physics for how this could possibly be has been a very interesting thing that's been going on in physics. They actually had a NOVA show that was actually originally a BBC show on this whole thing just a couple of years ago. And I was at the University of Colorado at Boulder this summer, and I gave a presentation at the Society for Scientific Exploration on the physics of how this works. And so it's really quite an interesting thing. The recording of that presentation is actually available on our homepage at farsight.org. And if you just scroll down, and you'll see on the homepage an embedded video of remote viewing and quantum science. And that is the best way to start to get an idea of where, you know, why remote viewing can actually work according to a theory that I've developed over the years. And again, I presented it formally this summer. And I've also been speaking, you know, in the old days, everyone who works in remote viewing eventually experiences, or right away experiences, in the old days, people used to laugh. And in the beginning, when I started doing this type of research, all of my academic colleagues, they all thought I was deluded. They thought it was ridiculous. They thought I was ruining my credibility, the whole thing. Nobody is laughing anymore. You know the movie that had Whitney Houston in it called Waiting to Exhale?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like in the academic community right now. Nobody's laughing. Everybody's holding their breath, and it's like a waiting to exhale moment. And so this is, and, you know, and Jerry, I should really say, never bet against a smart guy who never gives up. And that's what we're really talking about. So anyway, the styles of remote viewing that we use in our studies at the Farsight Institute have a different intellectual heritage. And Lynn may talk a little bit about this, but his intellectual heritage comes from Ingo Swann, who basically worked with his official program in the military. It was in the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he can talk more about that. And that was an official program. And again, in my opinion, he is the leading instructor on the CRV method.
You know, Courtney, you brought up Ingo Swann. I think it would be a good time for us to bring in Russell Targ.
Oh, sure.
Who knew him well. And he and Hal Puthoff worked with him out at Stanford, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, before we do that, let me just mention that the other group that we work with a lot is the HRVG method. Hello, are you still there, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're calling Russell, but go ahead.
Okay, it's the HRVG method, and that has an intellectual heritage that's different, and it ties back with Dr. Richard Ireland, and that was in an unofficial, you might call it a movement within the military. Glenn Wheaton came out of Special Forces Intelligence, and that was a different thing that went on, and that was where the so-called First Earth Battalion stuff came out of, that the men who stare at goats stuff came from. But again, the main character who was played in the movie by George Clooney was named Lynn, and Glenn and Jim Shannon made sure of that because they wanted to, you know, nod their hat to Lynn Buchanan. So they were trying to be all-encompassing. It's a multifaceted personality in that particular character. But anyway, you've got a lot of things going here. So, Jerry, what you're doing is bringing in Russell?
Yeah, Russell Targ's on the line now. And
I'm on the line with you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, hey, Russell, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm very well.
I can't see you, but you guys can probably see me since you're home with viewers. I don't know. Russell, before we even get started, I want to thank you again publicly for when we met back 3 or 4 years ago. You gave me a little Bosch and Lomb lens. As most people don't know, but I'm visually impaired. And you gave this little lens to me, and it's come in handy. It's a little pocket thing, and it's saved my life many times. And
really
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it.
I used a lens just like that all through my college education, and it's in my pocket every day.
Yeah, and we really appreciate it. Now, let's talk. You got a book coming out, right?
I have a brand new book called The Reality of ESP. It's published a couple of months ago, and it has a nice aggressive subtitle called A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Ability. So my publisher said, no more Mr. Nice Guy, no more looking at ESP. You've either got it or you don't have it. So I said, let's call it A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Ability. And the idea is that the evidence for ESP and remote viewing is now so strong that it would be statistically unreasonable to deny it. And in the book, I make the argument that the National Institutes of Health, NIH, did experiments to see if aspirin would prevent heart attacks. And after a year or so with thousands of people, they found the people taking the aspirin had fewer heart attacks. So they stopped the experiment because it's unfair to have a placebo group who's having heart attacks while the other group is not. They say, we have proved that aspirin prevents heart attacks. And that all happened about a decade ago. And my point in the book, and I discuss this in the evidence that Jessica Us put together, is that the statistical evidence for ESP is 10 times stronger than the evidence that the NIH had to argue that aspirin prevents heart attacks. So if anything can be proved in experimental science, ESP has been proven to exist, and we don't have to apologize for it anymore. The proof issue has been handled.
Interesting book.
So my new book is called The Reality of ESP and is available on Amazon or at bookstores near you.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. You've been doing all kinds of interesting research all your life, Russell, and we're talking to Courtney Brown here. By the way, say hello to Courtney.
Hi, Courtney. I'm happy to chat with you.
Yeah, it's great. Russell and I know each other going way back.
Yeah, and we talked to Russell the last time we met personally. You talked about Ingrid Swann and Courtney brought up his name right off the bat. So I guess he's the pioneer of some of this anyway.
Yeah, in 1972, Ingo Swann came to SRI, and he taught Hal and me how to do remote viewing. So we, Hal and I started a program in the fall of 1972, and Ingo disagreed that we shouldn't waste his time looking into a box or looking into envelopes. He said, I can focus my attention anywhere on the planet, and you guys are trivializing my ability. So Ingo showed us what a remote viewer could do. So you could say Ingo taught Hal and me. Hal and I taught six Army intelligence officers at Fort Meade, and the Army taught the world. So that if you now go to Google and search for remote viewing, you find there's 2.5 million pages devoted to remote viewing. There's quite a lot of pages for a phenomena that's still not known to exist.
Yeah, I didn't realize there'd be that many pages of information available. I'm impressed that you knew that.
The idea is that remote viewing is very easy to teach. So what happens is that as soon as a person learns to do remote viewing, they learn that swiftly in a workshop, and they say, well, that's really cool. I can do all kinds of interesting things, and it wasn't hard to learn. Maybe I'll teach people how to do that. So teaching remote viewing is like giving people permission to make use of an ability they already have. We're all remote viewers, and the job of a teacher, like Courtney and me and then Buchanan and others, our job is to give people permission to unlock the potential that they have. In a way, you can't teach somebody to see, but you can convince them to open their eyes, and that's really what we're doing.
Now, I might add something to this. Everything that Russell said is absolutely correct. The only difference is that mostly, in terms of myself, I'm mostly the chief investigator for science projects, and other people do the remote viewing when we do these science projects. However, the training for the people we use is at a much greater level. It's a little bit like playing the piano. So you can go up to a piano and you can bang on it and make noise. But if you want to play in Carnegie Hall, you're talking about a decade or more of constant practice, skill. There's talent involved, but it's also, you know, sweat, perspiration involved. It's a lot of just hard work. And that's really what we're talking about. So the types of people who have participated in the project that we have done in the Farsight Institute typically have a training period under Lynn or Glenn Wheaton of a decade or more. And they're really exceptional. So the types of data that you get from people like that, I call these military grade, but that's really not correct, because these are second generation or third generation trained remote viewers using these structured data collection procedures. And these people are absolutely extraordinary in coming up with data sets for the things that they're supposed to be perceiving that are absolutely detailed, extraordinarily accurate. It's totally different from what you get if you train somebody for, say, a day or a weekend. Because what happens is you can sort of give them permission to start getting access to this data. But if you want them to walk into a room, sit at a table under totally blind conditions, double, triple, whatever blindness you want in terms of, you know, they have no knowledge of the target, and then to come out later with 10 or 20 pages of very detailed data about those targets, about the things that they were supposed to be perceiving that they didn't know about, but, you know, that was part of the experimental design, that there's something called a target we can talk about later. If you want that to happen, 10 or 20 pages of detailed data, with a huge proportion of it to be accurate, with really clear pictures and really clear written work, then you need people that are really skilled at this. And those are the type of people that we work with at the Farsight Institute. I must admit, this is also one sort of an interesting thing. This whole field of remote viewing started with Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff. And it's very interesting that to this day, I'm going to say something that's going to sound like boasting, but it's not. So just hear me out. I am the leading scholar, the leading academic in the science of remote viewing as it is performed using the structured data collection procedures that were developed by the United States military and used for espionage purposes, or procedures that are derivative of those methodologies.
Claiming to be the leading academic, I'd like to
let me explain why.
Ask you a question before you go into a long dissertation. You're claiming to be the leading academic, if I heard you correctly.
Yes.
And you're saying that the people you train are Carnegie Hall virtuoso doing Army quality remote viewing. I'm not aware of any work that you've published in the open scientific literature demonstrating that. In our decade at SRI, we published in Nature, the Proceedings of the Electrical Engineering Society, the AAAS, the American Institute of Physics. We did many, many double-blind, formal remote viewings where people could get the right answer or they could get the wrong answer. We published these findings, and all the world knows the accuracy and the reliability of remote viewing as we do it at SRI. There are many people who are doing something called controlled remote viewing who publish nothing, but they make great claims about your accuracy.
Russell, I didn't complain anything about the stuff you were doing. In fact, I was saying it was pioneering stuff and it was really great. But the issue about publishing stuff, we just had our very... The type of remote viewers we work with are different. And I said I was the leading because, if you let me finish, I would have said, because I am the only academic. That's why I can say that. The thing that's so surprising is I don't have any other academic colleagues anywhere that study remote viewing using these military procedures. Now, in terms of published stuff, you do know that I've published stuff. You read the Journal for Scientific Exploration, and in this year, just a few months ago, we had a study coming out in that, and that's one of the premier venues for this type of research, and it's the premier venue that you have used as well. And it was a study that came out at the Journal for Scientific Exploration. The title was Remote Viewing the Future with a Tasking Temporal Outbounder. And in fact, this was the very first publication that was ever appeared anywhere using these types of highly trained remote viewers. So
did
this
you
is
do
a
number of different trials in this and compare accuracy and reliability?
Russ, I'm sort of flabbergasted that you haven't read the article. So that's the whole thing.
Well, we're on the air. We're on
the
air with hundreds of people. Probably I'm not the only one. So I'm asking you, did you do a number of trials?
Yeah, but to get the article, you already get a subscription to this. But to get the article, you can go to the homepage for the Farsight Institute, farsight.org, and right in the middle of the homepage, you'll see a banner saying, Latest Peer-Reviewed Published Research Remote Viewing the Future. Now, this particular article deals with a project that we had that went on for 1 year. And this was called the Multiple Universes Project, and it was an explicit test for the idea that there are multiple realities. And it went on for 1 year, 10 demonstrations. The intellectual complexity of setting up the research design was absolutely fascinating. And so for those people who are listening, and I do hope it's more than hundreds, that is a very good place to go to get this article fresh off the publication, fresh off the presses, and it gives you an idea. It also the article also has a great deal of background into the history of remote viewing research, and Russell's own work is prominently discussed, all in a positive manner, in this article as well. So I am not saying anything that detracts from what you've done, but on the other hand, it's been a very hard slug out to get remote viewers who are highly trained to get
Russell.
In this experiment you did, how is the success or failure of individual remote viewings determined? If somebody forecasts an event in an alternative universe, it's very hard to tell. The whole idea of alternative universes is phenomenologically questionable. Because you can never communicate with an alternative universe, nor can you get any information from it.
Okay, you're talking right off the... You're shooting from the hip now and haven't read the article.
Wait a minute here. We'll have plenty of time for this to and fro on this, so let's hold on here. And we're going to bring in some other remote viewers, and we're going to open up the whole thing for a panel discussion. So hold on a minute, Courtney. Russell, before I bring on Lynn Buchanan, what important points would you like to make at this point about what you're doing and how you feel things? Now, I'll get into the alternative universe with both of you in a little bit, but maybe we should hold off on that.
The idea of the multiple universe is that there may be many, many millions of alternative universes created at the time of the Big Bang, and one of the properties of these multiple universes is we can't communicate with them and they can't communicate with us. So they're really not a great source of information. If I claim, for example, the universe full of very loquacious, intelligent Siamese cats, that's what I see psychically, and I can draw a picture of those Siamese cats in the alternative universe, you can neither falsify nor verify what I had to say.
You're building a straw man argument that is totally ridiculous.
Well, we'll talk about this a little bit. The time's getting away from us. You believe, Courtney, that there is an alternative universe, and you can... I don't guess you can prove it, but you think you have lots of evidence.
You
ask me what I'm doing, Jerry. I'm spending my time these days. I used to do stage magic, where I would stand on the stage and fool people. What I'm doing now is doing workshops. I've just written this book, which took me a year, presenting the very best data that's been published in scientific journals and was part of the Secret Army program, the reality of ESP. But what I'm doing principally is teaching people how to be psychic, giving them permission. For example, Stephen Schwartz and I have a workshop in 2 weeks at the Omega Institute in New York. Stephen and I will be teaching from the 26th to the 31st of August at the lovely Omega Institute up the Hudson River. We'll probably have 30 or so people, and at the end of that week, people will be able to accurately describe distant locations, hidden objects, things that they will see at a later time, and they will know for a fact that they were absolutely able to do that because they will see the object at a later time, and they will leave confident that they've been able to do remote viewing, that they've learned a skill that they can incorporate into their lives. And more than that, it gives them a very spacious picture of who they really are because they can move their awareness into these timeless realms and realize that there's more to them than meat and potatoes and bones and sinews, that they are actually spacious beings.
So okay, this will be in New York, August 16th through 30th?
No, it's... It's the last week in August, August 26th through 31.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And that's at the Omega Institute.
And anyone go there?
Anybody can go. Omega Institute is just up an hour
up. Give your website. We didn't do that yet.
Our website is espresearch.com.
And you have information there?
And I have the information there. And people can write to me from there. So my website's espresearch.com. And I'll be teaching at the Omega Institute the last week in August. You can all have a good time and plenty of arguments, and everybody will experience something psychic because we're working together for a week.
Okay, we've given a preview here, Courtney and Russell, of what's coming up here when we get all five of you on the panel. But we're going to have to take a break, and I'm going to bring in Lynn Buchanan next.